Thank you, Pastor. And Pastor, you know, one thing I've learned is you cannot, this team that is here at Fallbrook, Pastor Sam and Pastor Greg, and I'm going to include Lorraine, they set me up to succeed. Because Lorraine said, can I choose, do you need any help? Can I help you? And she's always there, so willing to help. And I appreciate that. You know, this morning, many of you, I don't know if you know this. I'm going to try something. I'm going to try and speak from here, okay? I usually go down there, but I need to be a big boy and preach from here. You know, this morning I got up around 3:30, and I was studying. And you know, God still speaks. And I've learned this week, he speaks around 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. If you've ever been up and studied, you will hear his voice if you seek. I've heard it several times this week. The other thing is, this morning when I was leaving, if you don't know, I live with around 7 or 8 elderly. The average age in my house is around 92 years old. And I was leaving, we have a new gentleman who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Is that, I don't know if that's the proper way of saying it. He's a really unique, sweet, sweet man. He's been with us for 3 days. And I spoke to him a couple times this morning, and as I was leaving, I went to go say goodbye to my wife. And he says, hey, young man, come here. And I said, yes, hi. He's like, are you going to church? And I said, yes, I am. How'd you know? Yeah, I'm going to church. He said, are you preaching? And I looked at this man who does not even know my name. And I said, thank you, Lord. Then he said, you look good today. And my wife looked at me and she says, She said, the Holy Spirit speaks. Holy Spirit speaks. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we call upon your precious name one more time. For the words, Lord, I don't want these to be my words. I want your words. So remove me and fill me with Holy Spirit, I pray. And at the end, may you and Jesus Christ be glorified is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen. You know, I've always... The more I study and the more I read these stories, I love storytelling. I love stories. If you don't know, I love children's story. I love the art of telling stories. And that's a dying art. You know, before television, before the internet, before families would gather around and tell stories. And I love stories. I have a friend, she's from Australia. She's 90, she'll be 96 this year. She came to the United States at the age of 22. It was at the end of World War II. And it's interesting, that woman can tell a story. She's from Australia, and she met her husband, and her husband was an American sailor, and their ship was in repair. And she said, you know what? The night I met him, he bought me a flowers. He's trying to impress me. She said, and then he said, may I walk you home? She says, sure, he didn't know what he's getting into. She says, I lived like 3 miles outside of Sydney. So he walked me home 3 miles. And then she said, you know, I really had to think about that because he had to turn around and walk back another 6 miles to his ship. And she said, then the next week when I saw him again, he brought me another flower. They were married close to 70 years. They knew each other for probably 2 months prior to marriage. You know, when she came to America, she said when she got on the boat to come to America, because they didn't have airplanes, the people didn't, she got on the ship in the 1940s, and her husband was out to sea, and their ships passed in the Pacific Ocean. She was 2 years from the day they got married to the day she saw him again. 2 years. And she's documented. She journals every single day at the age of 96. What stories this woman has. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and as I get older, these aren't children's stories. These are adult stories. There's a story about the prodigal son. And, you know, I had to look up, the prodigal son is the wasteful son. The Webster says, you know, it could be the extravagant son. And, you know, being extravagant is kind of in right now. If you're extravagant, man, you're in the in crowd. But nobody wants to be called wasteful. The wasteful son. And can you imagine? I can't even imagine going to my father. In verse 12, he says, Father, give me the portion that falls to me. Wow, how bold. How arrogant. You don't know my father was Vernon Cook, and this is a story B.C., before Christ. My father knew Jesus Christ at the end of his life. One day, I don't know what got into me, and I saw my father then. He was sitting there reading the newspaper. Some people still know what a newspaper is. He was reading a newspaper, and he said, and I said, Dad, can I have $10? What was I thinking? Just got off work, reading his newspaper, just trying to relax, and his seventh or eighth grade son says, can I have $10? My dad said, well, there's a lawn out there with your name on it. So I went outside and I got the mower and I cut the grass. I don't know if we had both a push mower or the gas mower. I cut it. I edged it. I even edged the grass. Living in Barstow, it wasn't much of a lawn, but it was pretty big. And then I swept up the clippings and I swept it up and I swept. I came back in about an hour later, sweating and hot, and I said, okay, Dad, I'm finished now. And my father said, he looks up and he says, are you eating dinner today here? I said, yeah, I'm eating dinner. He says, you just got paid. Harsh. Harsh. What was I thinking? You know, I went back and looked. 1977, $10 was like $40 today. That's a lot of money. What did I need $10? I cannot remember. I told my sister that story this week, and she said, don't tell that story. I said, well, I got to tell you, that was before Christ. That was before Christ. How confident this young man was to walk in to his father's house and ask for his portion. A human, a man would say, how dare you come into my house and ask for my belongings? You know how hard I've worked, son? You got to go get your own. But not this son. I'm going to pull a slide up if I can. Oh. Not this son. The slide is from out of Christ's objective lessons. It says, the youth acknowledges no obligation to his father and expresses no gratitude. Yet he claims the privilege of a child in sharing his father's goods. The inheritance that would fall to him at his father's death, he desires to receive now. Oh, do I have to go to the next slide? Sorry. To receive now, he is bent on present enjoyment and cares not for the future. Man, this is a long time ago this story, this parable was written. But it sounds like today. How dare you? I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get it again. This younger son had become weary. I should have named. That's not it. All right, it's okay. This younger son had become weary of the restraints of his father's house. He thought that his liberty was restricted. His father's love and care for him were misinterpreted, and he determined to follow the dictates of his own inclination. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, I don't go to church anymore. Man, there's just too many rules in church. Too many rules. The wasteful son. So you know the story. He goes to a far country. He wastes everything his father gave him on careless, extravagant living, trying to impress people who had really no business to be impressed, trying to impress people who really didn't even care about him. He ends up friendless, homeless, living on the street. Oh, and by the way, hungry. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, have you ever really been hungry? We don't know what hungry is. I just went through the Weimar program, and that's another sermon for another day. But we did a 78-hour fast, I believe it was, 78 hours, almost 3 days. I want to say people were dropping like flies, but that wasn't true. I learned something that I can live 3 days without food. Shocking. You laugh. I lived. I survived. But as this young man was out hungry and homeless, he was forced to get a job. in verse 15. Verse 16 says, no one gave him anything. In verse 16, Luke 15:16. No one gave him anything. Oh man, as hunger hits, settles in a sad state, he begins to think about home. Man, the smells of home, the sounds, the people, the security of his father's house. Now broke and alone. Do you know what broken and alone feels like? Ever been broke and alone? You know, our enemy loves to make you feel like you're alone. Like nobody cares. But this young man was broke and alone. He came to himself. I love that. I've even come to myself a couple of times. The New Children's, International Children's Bible says that he realized he had been very foolish. And he asked himself a question in verse 17. But when he came to himself, he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? He says, and I perish with hunger. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? He came to himself. He quit his job. Have you ever quit a lousy job before? Oh, man, that's the best feeling in the world. To quit a job that I should have quit years ago. I walked in there and I quit. Oh, to quit a lousy job. He quit his job and he left his whatever few belongings he had, and he began to walk home. That long walk home to his father's house. He also begins to rehearse in his head. What am I going to say? I can't believe I wasted my life, my dad's inheritance. As he starts walking and walking, verse 18 says, the father, I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I'm going to say heaven first, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me your hired servants. That's what I'm going to say as he's walking and he's thinking about, okay, this is the way to get home. Man, I didn't realize I was that far away from home. Father, I'm just make me a servant. That's all. And he picks up a little more strength. Father, I'm not worthy. Just make me a servant. That's what I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him, I can't believe this. I can't believe I did this to myself and to him. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The loving father never gives up on us. The father sees. That tells me that the father is looking, right? The father sees his lost son from a distance and sends his servants to go get him. Nope, that's not what happened. The father walks out there after he takes care of a couple things and goes meets his son. No, verse 20 says that he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. What kind of father would run? He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. I don't want to run past that word compassion. I looked it up. A feeling, compassion. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. The father had compassion on him. Verse 20 says, but while the son, this is the children's version. I like the children's version. I'm kind of simple. Verse 20 says, but while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. He felt sorry for his son. Felt sorry for his son. So the father ran to him and hugged and kissed him. Can you imagine? The son tells his father, Just make me a servant, Father. I'm not worthy. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me a servant. He confessed his true confession. The son says, Father, I have so much to tell you. And all the father did was take off his robe and cover him. He didn't want anyone to see him like this. He covered him. And when they got back to the house, he says, hey, get the good robe. You know, the one I just got from Nordstrom and those sandals. My good sandals, go get my good sandals. Let's clean this boy up. Oh, and servant, get the fatted calf, because we're going to celebrate. 24 says, "For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Luke 15, 4 through 6, the parable of the lost sheep. Right before this story, a man had 100 sheep, and one of his sheep wanders off. There was rejoicing when this one sheep, this one little lamb was found, after the shepherd went out and found him. Man, how I wish this story was over. This one little wandering sheep that the father missed and loved and had compassion for. But there's this other element to the story, this other element to this little children's story for big children. It's called the older brother. You know, I know a lot about older brothers. I happen to be an older brother. There's four boys in my family. Oh, I can't go with, there's three sisters. I always get in trouble for leaving out my sisters. There's four boys in our family. And I'll tell you what, I have a younger brother right under me. But I have two older brothers. Man, I know about older brothers. Thank the Lord, both of them now are loving, kind, and God-fearing men. But it wasn't always that way. You see, back when I was young and when I was a child, these older brothers, I happened to be the guinea pig on everything. I was also the punching bag. I know what it's like to be a little servant. I was a servant. Basically, you did anything and everything they told you to do. And if not, they would terrorize. They would torture. Like I said, thank the Lord. My mom prayed for us. We kept her on her knees. She prayed for us. But I know I have a lot of experience about older brothers. And I praise God today that they are now my best friends. I can call them my brothers. But this older brother was just getting off work, tired and hungry. And as he drew near to the house, he heard music playing and laughter. And I can imagine him thinking, oh, a party. Finally, I'm getting my party. This party's for me. Dad finally recognizes it's my turn. I'm being recognized for all the hard work and all the loyalty and duty that I've been all these years. And as he gets closer, he calls a servant over. Oh, man, I need to go wash up. This is my party. My party, verse 26. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Verse 27, he said, and he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Wow. Really? Can you imagine being that older brother? But he was angry in 20, verse 28 says, he is angry and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and he pleaded. Circle that word. He pleaded with him. What kind of father? I keep going back to a father that runs after his son, a father that pleads with his son. This father is incredible. These men were both messed up, right? Both had issues. The older son would not even go in the house. This son was angry with his younger brother and his father. He was filled with anger, bitterness, resentment. And Sister White even says jealousy. These emotions and feelings can ruin a person. Have you ever known anybody lived for years with these bitterness and anger and resentment? It'll eat you alive. It'll eat you from the inside out. This older brother had actually been living like this for years. But once again, the father comes out. He's active. He's an active father. And he leaves the party to plead with his son. So he answered and he said to his father, lo, these many years, this is 29, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet, you never gave me a young goat that I might marry with my friends. That sentence has a bunch of I's. He says, I have served you, and I have never transgressed, and I might have Mary. This young man was thinking only of himself. Verse 30 says, but as soon as this son of yours, can you believe he said, but as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. You know, Luke 15, if you look a little earlier in the story, the parable, Jesus tells a parable of a lost coin, a woman and her lost coin in the house. This older son was lost. He was angry with his brother. He was angry with his father. He couldn't even call him a brother. He referred to him with his dad as your son. He had disinherited his brother. There's only one problem. And the problem is, this son had never left his father's side, but was just as lost, if not more, than his brother. That's tragic. How could you be at the house working and talking and seeing your father every day and be lost? You know, the lost coin never left the house, but it was still lost. Makes me wonder. Now, I think my slides are mixed up. It's okay. Okay, hold on. I think I'm going to read this one. Really? I'm sorry. I've been up since 3 o'clock. Let me go back. I'm going to read this one. The older brother has not been sharing his father's anxiety and watching for the one that was lost. This is Christ's Objective Lessons, page 207. This older brother has not been sharing his father's anxiety in watching for the one that was lost. He shared not, therefore, in the father's joy at the wanderer's return. The sounds of rejoicing kindled no gladness in his heart. He inquired of a servant the reason of the festivity, and the answer excited his jealousy. He will not go in and welcome his lost brother. The favor shown to the prodigal, he regards as an insult to himself. He wasn't worried. He had already written his brother off. He was already dead. The eldest son did not know his father's true heart. He did not trust his father. He did not understand the wisdom of his father. He did not understand the love his father had for him and his brother. Now the loving father, who was now pulled away from the celebration. Can you imagine being pulled away from the celebration? I always thought my son was dead. Now he's found. And now I have an issue with my other son. He has to break away from the celebration, takes his son aside, I can imagine, sits him down and says, do you really think that if you took a goat or even the fatted calf, that I would have a problem with this? Verse 31, I love 31, sums it up. He says, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. That fatted calf is yours. If you wanted to kill it and celebrate, that's your calf. It was right, and I love this, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I repeat, this son did not know the love, did not know the heart, did not know the character of his loving father. Jesus told these three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons, in response to some men who were criticizing and complaining. In Luke 15, verse 1, see, you see that all the tax collectors and all the sinners had drawn near to him, the Bible says. People were attracted to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives, he welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." Who would eat with a sinner? Wow. Jesus would. Some Pharisees and scribes, yes, they look, he says, the Pharisees and scribes, yes, Jesus is saying, "I eat with sinners." Because these sinners, when you're a sinner, you know that you're broken. Some of them know that they're broken. These ones who were attracted to Jesus, they were lost. And I love them. This is the young wanderer. But I also love you, Mr. Pharisee and Mr. Scribe. Drop your unforgiving spirit. Humbly accept my free gift, Jesus was saying, of salvation, and walk with me. This was the older son. But God is teaching that he loved them both. You know, I want to change the story. I've always, after reading and studying and reading and studying, I'm like, why they call this the parable of the prodigal son? It should be the loving father. The story is about the father. See, we can all relate. We can all relate to the sin problem. If you can't, you might have another issue. But we all should be able to relate to the sin problem. But how many of us can relate to the loving father living in the house, not knowing your father? 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is slow in doing what he promised." The way some people understand slowness, but God is being patient with us. He does not want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to change his heart and his life, to repent. I like this quote. I didn't put this one up. I know for sure. "Do not listen to the enemy's suggestions to stay away from Christ until you have made yourself better." Do not listen to until you are good enough to come to God. If you wait until then, you will never come, Sister White writes. When Satan points to your filthy garments, repeat the promise of Jesus that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, John 6:37. Tell the enemy that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Make the prayer of David your prayer. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's Psalms 51:7. In conclusion, you know, the parable there, there's no taunting, no casting up of the prodigal of his evil course. The son feels that the past is forgiven. Have you ever felt forgiven and forgotten? Blotted out forever. Excuse me. And so God says to the sinner, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression and as a cloud thy sins." Isaiah 44:22. "I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sin no more." Jeremiah 31:34. The heart of God yearns. I love this. This is out of Steps to Christ. The heart of God yearns over his earthly children with a love stronger than death. In giving up his son, he has poured out to us all heaven in one gift. Isn't that beautiful? It gets better. The Savior's life and death and intercession, the ministry of the angels, the pleading of the Spirit, the Father working above and through all, the unceasing interest of heavenly beings, all are enlisted in the behalf of man's redemption. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God's thrown everything at this world. He's given it all. Brothers and sisters, there is no excuse for a man to be lost except that he chooses to be lost. God emptied heaven on man's behalf, for he was lost and now is found.